live from the List Track Recording Studio. This is Email Marketing Today. Here are your hosts, Ross, Matt, and Brent.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to our 11th episode of Email Marketing Today. I'm Brent Schroyer. Also with me here today in the studio is Ross Kramer. Hey, Ross.
Hey, Brent.
And Matt Elliott. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing well, Brent. How about yourself?
Oh, pretty good for this early Friday morning here. Wanted to talk about today, had a bit of a, a humorous yet...
Sobering?
Yeah, that's a good word for it. Email that came through. A&W Root Beer saw an email come through where they had a real big image right up front, initially up front in the email. And when you have that, you know, we've always talked about best practices. You want to make sure that you always have a title tag, right? You always want to make sure that if the image doesn't show up, you want to make sure that you have, an alt tag.
Right.
You want to make sure that you have an alt tag there for your image. Well, they had an alt tag, but unfortunately, the alt tag was labeled AW final F beep beep K off. Anyone that had their images turned off saw this alt tag, which, you know, bit of a blunder for the designer there on that one. Just kind of lesson to take away from that. Make sure that you check all of your alt tags and that you're using your alt tags to actually present what you're talking about in the message of that image.
Absolutely. I mean, what an amazing faux pas, but not surprising. And I would even take it further than that. And the alt tag is a pretty obvious one because it's displayed. But even like comments in your code, there's nothing to prevent somebody from right-clicking on the email and say view source and thinking that just because you've commented it out in the code and it's not something that's going to display doesn't mean that it's not going to be seen. And I mean, it's amazing that somebody could do that, but it's really not that surprising.
I know it's caused a conversation for me and in our professional services team and saying, hey guys, I know you would never do this, but here's a really, unfortunate situation that happened this week. And we just have to be cognizant that even though, I was following this in the blogosphere, and somebody made a blog comment. Well, that's what happens after the 40th revision, And I know, I'm a manager here, and I can sometimes say, nudge this here, give me a drop shadow, smooth this out, and I think sometimes the designers tend to want to just break their pencil in half and try to jam it in my eye.
Well, it's frustrating as a designer designing for email. Because you're designing for like 1999 web, really, when it comes down to it. You're designing for all the basics and all that CSS wizardry that you've come to know over the years and use when you're designing a website. It's kind of out the window, and I know it definitely can be frustrating for a designer.
Yeah, so my conversation was just, I know you can be frustrated, but make sure that this doesn't come out.
Roll your eyes and leave it at that. You get that look in the face, but leave it at that. Don't let it parlay out through your fingertips onto your keyboard and affect how you're going to type up your message. Which reminds me of another anecdote. In a previous life working for Thomson Netgy, I was QAing a piece of software. Is a CBT, is a computer-based training software. And, during our downtime, we were to go through these software and just kind of QA it. And I took a route in answering the questions that probably nobody would ever take.
Not you, Matt.
Yeah, go figure. Yeah, I know. Something a little off the norm. I know it comes as a great surprise for people who know me. But I took this route, and the score was so bad, and it actually gave me the same F-dash-dash from, if you know Christmas Story, the mother of all swear words, the F dash 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 was in the response code.
Wow.
In my result, basically calling me a dumb, what.
Oh, jeez.
And so when I took that to the QA team, it was a madhouse in quickly trying to get everybody to, it was like a food recall. When you find out you've got salmonella in your chicken or whatever, it was like the same kind of concept, this massive recall to try to get all of our customers to send that software back. And, keeping your eyes on the customer and making sure that you're doing things the right way is just so important. And there's just, and understanding all the little touch points that are possible that where somebody can communicate a message to your customers through your brand and through your messaging, and knowing where all those different touch points are and that everybody's on board. This could have been for A&W. My guess is it was probably a third party, maybe through an agency or
it was
a designer.
It was their marketing agency.
And so making sure you've got, you know, a real handle on all those different people that can, you know, influence and touch your brand messaging is extremely important.
And then, you know, probably a topic for another podcast is what's the appropriate response?
Well, actually, I was going to bring that up here. They actually sent two emails that followed up, two apology emails. The first one talked about how the artist that put the graphic together and uploaded to the email system had a great deal of trouble with a file and was unaware that the method the file was labeled could be seen on PCs. So they sent an apology through. Now, I've heard some great success in the past with apology messages when you have some kind of offer attached to it, because kind of human nature, you see an apology, you're paying more attention to it. And that's just kind of been proven time and time again. So I'd say that they kind of missed out actually on an opportunity here where they kind of came back with an apology and actually a second apology, but neither one really had any kind of additional offer or anything like that. It was just kind of a straight, here's what happened. We're sorry this happened. We apologize. I think there is an opportunity there to kind of, you know, you kind of have that attention to use that.
Well, what bothered me about their apology was the excuses. I mean, they really probably shouldn't have put the excuse in there, and they should have just said, you know, mea culpa, we screwed up and we're sorry. Right. And like you said, there should have been some kind of make good feeling out of it instead of like pointing fingers at somebody and, you know, trying to come up with an excuse. People know stuff happens. I mean, it's obvious that somebody put that in there. They don't need to make that excuse. They probably should have found a way to really just try to make good. And it's actually in the email marketing book from Dave Daniels and Jeannie Mullen. In that book, they talk about...
It's email marketing an hour a day.
Yep, email marketing an hour a day, how apologies, you know, how sometimes when you screw up that the end result can actually drive, you know, good things with your customers through that relationship. And, you know, this is an example of that where they could have turned it around and done something to play off of it or do anything other than just make excuses.
Now, the first apology came from the marketing company, which was...
They both did. The second one basically then came through and said that A&W brand had nothing to do with this mistake. So it was like the first one's kind of explaining the mistake. The second one kind of came through and said, you know, this is the marketing company. The A&W didn't have anything in himself as the parent company to do with this mistake.
And for anybody listening that probably wants to get a copy of the creative, I'm sure it's been posted out on the web.
It is a business to business email. Like, it's not their to consumer email. It's actually an ad out to actually include your brand as part of a coupon package type of thing that they were going to have, I guess, as part of their brand. So I guess maybe not as damaging, you know, to the consumer at least there, but, you know, still just...
Well, with the worldwide webs out there, that information trickles down. You know, a mistake like that isn't going to be contained, and it's just very unfortunate for A&W.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, our intent here is not to necessarily kick A&W while they're down, but hopefully, you know, help others to make sure this doesn't happen.
Yeah, just raising some awareness and letting, you know, just pointing out what you can do as email marketers on your end to, you know, really just keep a good handle on your program.
Going back to the apology thing, I've got a friend in the business, and it was a B2B communication, and they had messed up something. They messed up the offer or something like that. They came back with the apology, and the apology actually got a higher response than any of their other messages. And that's probably the thing that you were talking about, Brent, because I think sometimes when done right, the apology can sort of pull on the heartstrings of people, because I think there's a natural sort of Good Samaritan response that's native to all humans.
Well, it's actually kind of funny. In the second apology they got back, one of the things they did say was, thanks to all who sent back kind notes of consolidation regarding our email mishap earlier today and for sharing your all-time email blunders. They most certainly lightened the situation here. So, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So there is a bit of, you know, there's surely a silver cloud.
Yeah.
Lining in the cloud, rather.
Absolutely. And anyone who wants to read more about those kinds of emails, Chad White has blogged on that quite frequently in his blog.
Yeah, he's got a tag there that you can you know, see all the posts that he's got on email blunders.
Email,
and apologies.
Yeah, what's the URL for Chad's blog, guys?
Chad's blog is retailemailblog.com. It's where you can get to Chad's retail email blog.
And I think another cool place to go for some interesting mistakes stuff, related stuff, is our friend John Cadell has a blog called the Mistake Bank blog, and you can even go out there and hear one of my mistakes. More on the business side than the email side, but it's got some great content, and John's a great great guy and a great friend to Listrack.
We're all human, you know. These, you know, things happen, but there's definitely degrees of mistakes can be made. So just something to be very careful of.
We'd be remiss before ending our podcast without mentioning our next webinar, which is with Tim Ash on April 15th.
Tim, Matt, you met Tim last week in New York?
I did. I met him at the SES show. It's actually kind of a funny story. He was signing books at the Google booth, and the sales rep that I was at the SES show with mentioned that, oh, I saw Tim Ash up at the Google booth. And I said, oh, great. I want to go meet him because he's going to be doing our webinar, and we've talked on the phone, but I wanted to meet him face-to-face. So I went up there, and I kind of saw two people at this stand at the Google booth, but nobody around. So I kind of bellied up to the stand and said, I understand Tim Ash is up here signing books. And Tim Ash looked me in the eyes and said, yeah, I'm right here. And yeah, so he gave me a book with a really funny anecdote in it that he signed. And we got off to a humorous start to our face-to-face relationship. But Tim's a great guy. And all the buzz, you know, in the lunchroom, everywhere, all the buzz at SES was about Tim and his work on landing pages and the training session he had the prior day at SES on landing page development, and definitely becoming a rock star in the industry in that space. And we're really excited to have him for our webinar, which is April 15th. And you can go to our website to sign up for it.
And we're also giving away 25 free autographed copies of his book, Landing Page Optimization, The Definitive Guide to Testing and Tuning for Conversations. So that's for anyone that actually attends the
webinar.
That's
right. Yeah, there'll be a random drawing of 25 names to receive the book. So it's going to be a great webinar. And obviously, if you register, you have a chance to win an autographed copy of his book. So we're really excited about that.
And I mentioned this last time, but anyone else that missed out on your webinar, Matt, which I continue to call Matt's Brain on Deliverability, was officially titled Factors That Impact Deliverability, but that's available out on our website on demand. And I think that was an hour and a half webinar that pure deliverability knowledge straight from our deliverability expert here, Matt.
So what's the graphical image that you used for that, Brent? Here's Matt's brain. Here's Matt's brain on deliverability.
Any questions? Yeah,
fortunately, it wasn't the National Drug Control Council or whatever with that message, but I'm still trying to refill my brain after that brain dump.
So. It was great stuff.
Oh, thanks.
Well, thanks everyone for joining us. Thank you, Ross and Matt, and we will talk to you all next time. Bye-bye. Bye.